We've lost in the semblance of a meeting.
Should I call the roll?
Exactly, we haven't gotten started, we're not going to get started. Okay, well, I'm going to use my big voice and command control of the speakerphone and bring us to order. If the staff would call the roll, and my sense is that the seven board members are all telephonic, is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and call the roll if you would, Carrie.
Elaine Gantz Berman.
Here.
Jane Goff. Paul Lundeen.
Oh, shoot. Well, I thought I heard Jane come in. Maybe I didn't. But I'm here, obviously.
Pam Mavinek.
Here.
Marcia Neal.
Here.
Deborah Sheffel.
Here.
Angelica Schroeder.
Here.
And Jane, we'll give you a chance. If you happen to be muted and you're with us and we just aren't hearing you, please speak up. Well, let's go ahead and proceed, and Jane will join us in process, in progress. So, Elaine, Marcia, did you have an order you wanted to proceed, or should we just give it to Jennifer and let her walk down the list?
Go ahead, Marcia.
Go ahead, Elaine, because Marcia
and I, at our legislative meeting, we came up with the agenda, and I think the agenda was sent out, so I think Jennifer can take it from here.
Okay, so I see that the most recent agenda starts with 1381 and ends with 1384, is that correct?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so fire away, Jennifer.
Okay, 1381, I think we'll just take a minute here. This is a new bill that was introduced. It basically says that if a school district or the State Charter School Institute close a school or directed by you all to close a school due to low academic performance, so this is, you know, as you all know, one of the options at the end of the clock is you can request an order. I'm not sure what the right verb is there, but whatever. You can work to have a school close. If that happens, then you have the school has to put into place a school closure plan. So they have to plan for how they're going to communicate about the closure, the timeline for closing the school, and the plan for reassigning the kids to other schools. The bill is flying through. I believe it's already through the House. We'll be working with, it's done in the House and we'll be in Senate Education probably this week. And I think that your board contacts had not necessarily recommended a position on this, but they just wanted us to bring it to your attention so in case you were hearing something about it in the field or if you had any questions about it, we can discuss it.
So, this is Angelica, I do have a question. Does this apply to all school closures or only school closures that relate to the accountability clause?
Only school closures that relate to the accountability clock.
Jennifer, the way I'm reading it, I would say that it applies, the way it reads here is if a school district or charter school institute decides or is directed. So the way I'm reading it is if they decide locally to close the school, they're going to have to follow this process.
Doesn't it say due to low academic performance?
Well, it says or is directed by the State Board of Education to close a public school. But at the beginning, a bill requires a school district or the state charter if it decides. So even if a local school wants to close a school that they deem is low performing, I'm not sure it's just within the confines of the state board.
Okay, so fair enough. So it may not be directly connected to the clock and the state board, but it is directly connected to low performance. It's not like if you're going to close a school because of a decline in attendance.
Yes.
Having been in the war, I'm just wondering a little bit if we had any feedback from CASB's folks.
I have not spoken to CASB about this directly. I'm not aware that they have a problem with it.
Angelica, my sense is this really is directed to the clock, and maybe the way it was written does include local school districts, but I don't think that's a major intent of the piece of legislation.
Yeah, I know, but as you probably know, Elaine, when school closures occur in a school district for any number of reasons, low enrollment is often related to low performance. Right? And so there is sort of a potential tie there. And I'm kind of wondering how convoluted that's going to get. I mean, I haven't thought about it enough to think it should apply to all school closures. It's a very, very difficult process to go through here in the community.
And I think for what the intention is to make that process, it is a very difficult process. I think people acknowledge that. And so I think the intention is to make sure that there's good communication plans in place and that there's good plans for the students. So I think it's intended to help in what is a difficult situation.
Okay. Is there anything in there that blocks the district from closing schools?
No.
That must be Jay. Sorry, I was having a hard time getting off of another call, but
here you are.
There I am. I'm very sorry.
Okay.
Please go ahead.
Angelica, when we discussed this on Wednesday, I think our feeling was that we're not entirely sure whether this bill is necessary. I think that the department is already requiring much, if not all, that's in the bill. Therefore, but it is sailing through. Therefore, that's why we decided to recommend the monitor position versus anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, which one is this?
I would love to hear from Kathy about it, but I certainly want to respond.
1381.
Okay.
Bill. And we're I guess discussing a monitor position. If there's not further conversation, is the consensus that monitoring this makes sense?
Sure. Yeah, I agree. And particularly at this time of the year, things are sailing through and changing them so quickly. I think it's a mistake to do anything else but monitor. They change. You know, it could be changed by this afternoon.
Okay, so with the monitors where we're at, any other questions necessary on this? Next item, Jennifer.
Okay, so the next one, the next three actually are just updates on bills we've talked about several different times. House Bill 1294 is the Carol Murray, Pat Stegman Student Data Privacy Act. That bill has passed the House, is out of the Senate Education Committee and the Senate Appropriations Committee as of this morning. So it'll be on the floor probably early next week. There have not been any substantive changes to the bill since it came out of the House. There is some talk about people offering amendments on the Senate floor, but I haven't seen any. I mean, no one has said, here's an amendment, what do you guys think? So I don't have any specifics. I will tell you, I feel really blessed. And the sponsorship on this bill has been really strong. Carol Murray was great in the House, and she understood the issue. She was able to handle things as they came up on the floor. I feel like Senator Stedman did the same. So I feel like we have, it's always nice to have a good sponsor because, and this is another thing, you may learn soon, Chairman Lundeen, but lobbyists can't go on the floor, and so we can't actually control everything that happens on the floor. It just makes us very nervous because our puppet strings sometimes aren't long enough. So it's just really nice. It's just, I feel really blessed on this bill to have some really good sponsors that I really feel confident can handle issues on the floor, that they understand the substance of the bill, and I don't believe that they would agree to anything that would be a problem for the department. I think they would try to talk to us, and had they not had time to talk to us, they wouldn't agree to it. So I feel pretty confident that it'll come out of the Senate in good shape. Student Success Act, dear God, what a week. So let's see, last Thursday.
Hang on, Jennifer.
Oh, sure.
Going back up a step.
Of course.
No, on SB 14204, a Marble Everett data privacy bill, does that have any potential life, or does it have any impact on the existing 1294? How do those two interact, or do they interact?
Let's see, that's a good question. So the bill that the chairman is referring to is Senate Bill 204. It is in the Judiciary Committee in the Senate for a hearing on Monday. I know that the districts have a lot of concerns with it. So there are some other state agencies that I think are planning to testify against it. So I don't, I mean, I'm not counting votes on the bill, so I don't know for a fact what the outcome will be. It sounds like there's a lot of people with concerns. The bill is, there's some components of the bill that actually are in direct conflict with what is in 1294. So if it does move forward out of judiciary, I think we would just need to get engaged in the, you know, somehow you got to true that stuff up, right? You can't tell us to do it one way in one bill and then a different way in a different bill and have them both pass. My advice would be to just see, in terms of any strategy, is to wait and see what happens on Monday. And then if it's still moving through the process, we can engage in that.
And it's in Senate Judiciary, it's going to get heard on Monday, and there's no House action on it at all at this point, because it's been assigned, or...
This is a recent introduction,
correct?
Right, right, it was just introduced, so yeah, and it's in the Senate. So, and that's another reason why, candidly, you know, we're running out of time here. I mean, there are eight and a half days left in the legislative calendar. Yes, I'm counting. And it's not even in its first committee hearing until Monday. Got a long way. It would have a very long way to go in a very short period of time.
Okay, and so I just wanted to, you know, hear exactly that. It sounds like it's out there. Probably doesn't have an immediate or direct effect on 1294, but could, if it moves down to Senate Judiciary, gain to life and gains a head of steam fairly quickly.
Yes, and I think if it does come out of Judiciary, we might need to continue some conversations, probably with alleged contacts. Initially, and obviously involve the full board as we need to talk through some of those issues.
Okay, thank you much. So you are moving on to 1292. Please proceed.
Great, thanks. I was just waving goodbye to Dan Tamagala.
Thank you.
The State Success Act, 1292. So it was in the Senate Education Committee last Thursday. There were several amendments added, but I think the most substantive issue was Senator Nancy Todd, who's a Democrat from Aurora, teamed up with all three of the Republicans on the committee and got an amendment on the bill that essentially stripped out all the financial transparency requirements. The bill was then sent to the Senate Finance Committee. There was some controversy about whether that was fair, whether that's what should have happened. You know, I can't speak to any of that. It's what happened. They voted on it in Senate Finance yesterday. They amended it to put, I mean, I'm glossing over the details here, but they amended it to put fiscal transparency back in. The bill was then in the Senate Senate Appropriations Committee this morning, where they stripped off the financial transparency language yet again, and directed the department to conduct an RFI. One of the concerns that some of the legislators who don't like the fiscal transparency portions of the bill have raised is we don't really know how much this would cost. Like we have, I mean, you know, look, through our fiscal process, the department's done its best to estimate, but we admit it, it's an estimate. And I've been in meetings with Leanne and folks over at the Capitol on this topic that we don't know for sure how much it would cost. We can do our best guess, which is what we do. So that's how it sits right now. I don't know, frankly, what will happen. My best prediction is that it comes out of the Senate without any substantive fiscal transparency. They go to conference committee and they try to figure something out. At the moment, though, they have 17 Republicans and Nancy Todd, so that makes 18 votes in the Senate, which is the magic number in the Senate, to keep off any fiscal transparency stuff that bloc doesn't like. So that is where that stands.
Jennifer?
Yes, Marcia.
Is Nancy
Todd the only Democrat that wants to get rid of financial transparency?
You know, Elaine, that's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that they only need one Democrat to join with Republicans
sure,
in terms of
sure.
the count. Marcia?
And my question, Jennifer, did I read correctly? They had an increase in negative impact money to 120 million and then they
yeah.
dropped it back down to 110
yes.
in the finance committee?
Yes.
Okay, school business won't like that, but.
And what happened at appropriations? Did that get knocked up to 120 or is it still at 110?
It's still at 110.
Interesting.
So it will not.
What's our stated position? We're just monitoring this bill, right?
Yeah, we're just monitoring.
I would argue that it's kind of hard for us, unless we all choose to show up down at Capitol, to take a more active role in monitoring. It's so fluid, it doesn't make sense to try and wade into what we don't know is.
Right, absolutely, right.
So I'll keep you all informed about this, because, you know, things again are moving really quickly on this, so I will make sure. I didn't send an email out this morning, partly because I knew we were having this conversation, but also because this morning I thought they might be doing it on the floor this afternoon. I thought, God, by the time I get that email out, it'll change again. So I will look for moments where things are solidified long enough that I can give you an update that makes sense.
Okay, you do that.
Yeah. House Bill 1298 is the School Finance Act. That also came out of appropriations this morning. That's much less controversial, frankly, at this point.
Jennifer? Yes. Jennifer? Excuse me, it's Pam. Did we take a position on 1294, or did I just miss it?
You all had previously taken a position of support on 1294.
Okay. All right, proceed.
Okay, so I'm on School Finance Act 1298. It's basically moving through the process. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that controversial at this point. But they're kind of moving it along a side of student success. So all the controversy about student success, which keeps slowing that down, keeps slowing down school finance. And the other thing I would note that's kind of related to those both of those bills, I don't know if you guys, I know nobody spends a ton of time looking at my really pretty chart that I send you a link to all the time. But there's
I have a ton of it.
Oh, that makes me feel better. there were a bunch of bills.
I do once in a while.
I'm teasing. So early on in session, there were several bills introduced in the House, four or five, that were individual components of what later became the Student Success Act. So there was an English Language Learner bill. There was an ADM bill. There was a fiscal transparency bill. All of those bills have either been killed or will be killed shortly, with the sponsor's consent, by the way, so that hasn't been a fight, except for the ADM bill. So as you recall, the ADM portions of the bill of Student Success Act have been completely stripped out. There's nothing in there about ADM anymore. As a way to put pressure on the Senate to put that language back in or do something, the House this week did move forward that freestanding ADM bill, and in fact, has already passed it. It was in committee, I think, on a Tuesday, then approves on Wednesday or Thursday and off the floor the next day. So that is kind of hanging out there as a something that will have to be addressed at some point in this process. So
Jennifer, is that just to do a study or is that to actually implement ADM?
That's to actually implement ADM.
Did that get a fiscal note?
Yes, and the bill did change a little bit as it was moving through, so the fiscal note's being worked on again.
What's the number on the ADM bill?
You know, that is such a great question for someone who's looking at the chart. I was not, I'm flipping through my iPad right now.
I'm scrolling. That's why I wanted the number so I could find it.
I'll tell you, it's going to be close to the top because it was an early introduced bill. There it is. It's 1139. Oh, and actually, according to this, it's on.
I'm sorry, Jane here. Didn't the study version of that bill, has it already gone through all the way, did you say?
No, so the current version of the Student Success Act contains nothing on ADM. It doesn't require that we transition to ADM, nor does it require that we study it.
Okay.
But there's another bill that would require a transition to ADM.
I have to wait and see. I'm having a hard time tracking how a study bill to a study only is lining up with what are they going to do about this? How are they going to rectify this controversy between the two? See, to me, it's either got to end up being one or the other. It's what happens. Either we do it or we study it.
Or we do not
study it. Did we study it last year?
No, well...
Well, there was a study done on this in like 2009, and so when the whole thing came up again this year, what's this one supposed to be?
You want to study the study?
No, there actually is a distinction between the two requirements. When there was language in the Student Success Act to require a study, again, that language is not in there at the moment, but there, it was at one point. It was supposed to be a study of systems to collect enrollment data, as well as a statewide enrollment system. So it was actually a broader undertaking than just ADF. The previous study that you guys did had to do with the methods of counting students, one of which was average daily membership. At least that's how Leanne explained it to me.
Right.
there's never been a bill about a study. There was study language included in the Student Success Act. It goes away and comes back. There is a separate bill that would say just do it. I mean, that's not the title or anything, but.
That'd be good.
And you're right. We'll have to see how this all plays out. So I will keep you updated on that, too. So I was going to move on to the last bill on the agenda unless anyone has any other questions about that stuff.
Proceed.
So the last bill on the agenda is House Bill 1384. This is primarily about higher education, but your legislative contacts thought that it was kind of interesting enough. They wanted to just put it on the agenda and make sure you guys were aware of it. Sorry, I'm scrolling through my thing to get to the... Ha ha ha, if you were in person, I'd do a little song and dance for you right here while I find the thing I need. Okay. This is a bill coming out of the Lieutenant Governor's office. It basically creates a scholarship program to give tuition assistance to state residents. It's anyone who's Pell eligible and then higher, with family incomes projected to go as high as $150,000. And this bill doesn't specify a lot of the details. It specifies that you're going to create this entity. There happens to be $30 million. Somebody found $30 million sitting in a bank account somewhere in the state that can be used for this. So they're going to use that $30 million to start it. And then their intent is that they will approach philanthropists and, you know, rich people and try to get them to put more money in it and create this program where you have a very robust kind of tuition assistance program for Colorado residents. The bill itself, all it really does is it takes that $30 million and devotes it to this process, and it kind of creates a structure and establishes a board, and then those people are going to get together and figure out the details, essentially.
Who manages the scholarship program?
If the Department of Higher Ed is in the lead, the board would be composed of the State Workforce Development Council and three representatives of higher education appointed by the governor.
So there's no limit it's for four-year programs only, or can apply to any kind of post-secondary cost?
The bill is not specific on those issues. My guess would be that if the bill passes and the entity is created, that would be one of the things they would develop through. I don't know that it's an official rulemaking process like you guys go through, but it would be something coming up along those lines where they figure out the details of the program.
Okay. And this has already passed the Senate, right?
No, it's a House bill.
It's already moving through quickly.
It's passed the House. And it still needs to work with the Senate. Yes.
Does anybody on the staff want to make any additional comments on this bill?
This is Jill. The only thing I would share is this is something that the Department of Higher Education has been working closely with our Office of Post-Secondary Education, Rebecca's team, to ensure alignment with our College Career Ready objectives, and so they've been active partners with us on trying to craft this in a way that's supportive of our objectives from the department as well. It's a key priority of the Department of Higher Education as part of their alignment and support between K-12 and higher ed.
And just for, I'm sorry, Will, would any of you know if there's detail in there? Is this for first-time college or higher ed entrant only? Or could this be something that at some point within the, within their post-secondary years, they could apply for as well?
That level of detail is not contained in the bill. So again, okay. I think that's something that, that would be worked out
by
the entity. I don't think there's any intent to limit it to first-generation students. I mean, I think they want to make this as broad as they can. My guess is that it will be, I mean, funding will dictate how big they can go, right? I mean, if they find $5 trillion, well, then it's probably every college, you know, anybody who wants to go to college in Colorado is a resident. If they find $500,000, well, it's probably, they'll have to find some way to restrict the dollars.
Okay. Is this an idea, Jennifer, is merit, is what a phrase has been used before, is merit-based? Is that what it's intended to be? It's not income-based, it's merit-based?
No, I believe this is actually intended to be income-based, but incomes at much higher than traditional levels. That wasn't very artfully said, but it's not just for really, really poor kids. It specifically talks about serving lower income and middle income, because, you know, there's a sentiment that middle income kind of gets squeezed out. They can't really afford it, but they don't get the financial aid either. So I think very intentionally they're trying to address that.
Well, I would say thanks for bringing this before us. I don't have an appetite for taking a position on it. This is my personal feedback on it.
That's fine, Paul. I think we just wanted everybody to know about it. It is a higher ed bill, so if you go on.
Sure, I appreciate you bringing it in. Thank you for doing that.
That is it. Unless you guys have questions about
I think I heard something from Kansas. Speak up, Kansas.
Kansas. Where are you? Are you in our favorite Kansas town, Pam?
Yes, I am. The golden buckle of the wheat belt.
The golden buckle. Oh, my God. I like it.
It's meant affectionately.
All right, well, do we have any other questions, or shall we charge Jennifer with going back across the street and fixing everything that's going wrong over there?
Yes, please, Jennifer.
Try to whip them into shape, Jennifer.
Do my best.
Go for it.
All right.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next regularly scheduled meeting. Thank you all.